T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Greg Giannotti's with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from the Fan in New York. Greg, is Mariota a bust, yes or no? What do you say?
He's a boring quarterback.
Stinks.
He's not fun to watch any longer. It's over for him.
But is he a bust?
He's a bust. It's over. Forget about it. There's no excitement around that team. Listen, it's not like a bust on the level of some of the worst quarterback picks we've ever seen at the top of a
draft. No, those are on Cleveland.
Yeah. But as far as, like, you know, getting ready for a season and thinking about who's got a shot and that quarterback you believe can win a Super Bowl, he's not on that list. No way.
Right. Like, think about any team that needs a quarterback now. Are they like, yeah, I'd like to get Mariota? No.
He's a disappointment. Yes, yeah. He's a disappointment.
We're parsing words. Greg, how you doing, buddy? What's going on, man?
Oh, what a week. I mean, we're on the complete other end of it.
Yeah.
With the excitement train. There's no doubt about it, but it has been incredible, and New York sports have been down for a while now. Yeah, we have the Yankees, and, you know, they go to the playoffs every year, and that's something to talk about, but obviously a disappointment not winning the division and losing to the Red Sox in the playoffs, so everybody's been bad. So you had one team, of course, a lot of excitement with the Jets and Le'Veon Bell, and another team, of course, getting rid of the most exciting player that they've had in a long time. So it has been nuts here, and I think that more Giant fans would be on board with this if it seemed like the Giants had any idea what they were doing, and we're not quite sure if that's the case yet.
Yeah, it was so weird because they trade Beckham, right, and they let some other guys go, obviously, as we know, and then yesterday this give a fairly significant contract to Golden Tate. They sign a few other guys. It doesn't seem like they have much of a plan, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I said. So after the Beckham deal, I said, finally, they realized that it's a year late, but they finally realized that the roster wasn't good enough to compete in the division, not good enough to be one of the better teams in the NFC. So they're turning the page. This is a good thing. You're just getting started a year late, and then you bring in Golden Tate. It doesn't make much sense. But I have to really wait and see what happens in the draft. If they don't go out and trade for Josh Rosen, if they don't use the 6th overall pick or the 17th, overall pick to draft a quarterback, if they don't take those two picks to move up and draft a quarterback, and they really come back with Eli Manning, Kyle Lauletta, and Alex Pandy in that quarterback room, then yeah, I mean, Dave Gettleman is absolutely nuts, but I got to see that happen first.
It just seems like since the trade, you know, a lot of people are piling on Odell, talking about what a bad guy he was behind the scenes and whatnot. How do you think Odell will fit in here in Cleveland, and where do you think that reputation of being this bad apple and the big apple came from?
Well, it was a lot of these little things that were piling up, and I think that this was a player who had dealt with a big injury the year before, dealt with something last year, was getting increasingly frustrated with the quarterback play and where the division or where the team was in this division and where they were going. So I think it was all sort of piling up for a player who was just frustrated. It just seemed like, you know, he wanted to do great things all the time, and he wasn't able to do great things all the time. And then he ended up pointing fingers around him as to why that wasn't happening. And I think one of the storylines that isn't talked about enough is, you know, Odell not wanting to be here. I believe that he did not want to be in New York any longer, and he created this around him, maybe a little quieter than Antonio Brown did in Pittsburgh, and he got himself out of here. I think that it made he and the people around him made it clear to the Giants that this was going to be a problem. And don't forget, I mean, the last 4 games of the year, he didn't play in those games. And there were some people in the organization that believed that he could have played in those games and did not. And there was a couple of issues during the season where he'd leave the field, end of the second quarter while the offense was still on the field, still be in the locker room after halftime when the third quarter started. And it was all about hydration and him getting an IV, and that's what it was. It wasn't him pouting if he left the field early. It was all about him getting an IV. There was these little things that were piling up, and I think the Giants said, we have to now make this move with this value where it is. We made a mistake giving him a contract. I wish that we didn't, but we did. and we got to make this decision now to move on from him before this becomes an even bigger problem and Odell Beckham Jr. goes full Antonio Brown on us, decides exactly where he wants to go, and we lose all of our leverage. So I think that's where it came from. I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he's a bad person. He hasn't been involved in any sort of off-the-field issues where you would say, oh, man, that's an eight-game suspension type of deal. But if he's not getting exactly what he wants, he becomes a pain in the ass, and there's a history of that.
This may sound really stupid, but did they get the most they could for him? How much did they actually shop him, do you think? Because some trades come together really quickly. There's just a good fit, and it's kept private, and out of nowhere, bang. And this has been gone on for so long. How much do you think they actually shopped him around, and was this truly the best deal they could get for him?
I think they've been shopping him since prior to giving him the deal. There's no doubt about it. I think that they threw out that two first-round pick thing to see if there was somebody crazy enough to do that. I think they ended up giving him the contract, and it settled down for a while. And then that ESPN interview happened, and they realized, okay, we're really going to have to think about this again. And then the end of the season happened, and they realized they absolutely had to do it. I think they've been shopping him around now for a while, pre-contract and post-contract. And I think the return's pretty good. It's really hard to make a comparison to this deal. And you think about the Khalil Mack trade, that's not a fair comparison to make. I mean, Khalil Mack's been a model citizen in his NFL tenure, and edge rushers are such a premium for those guys in the NFL. I keep thinking back to the first Randy Moss trade, the one where the Vikings sent him to the Raiders, and it was a seventh overall pick and a linebacker named Napoleon Harris, and I think maybe a seventh round pick that was in there, and that didn't seem a lot to me at the time. So I think they did pretty well value-wise, and I think that, you know, the Giants fans that feel like they didn't get a lot back for Odell, I keep pointing to the fact that he played 16 games in 2 years, and he didn't want to be here. You know, maybe it wasn't as many headlines as far as, you know, when Antonio Brown, his blonde mustache and Mr. Big Chest on the elliptical and look at me and all that, but the Giants felt like that might have been coming. And this this ESPN interview and what happened there was just a taste to the Giants of how much a big pain he could become. I mean, this guy, he went on national television and questioned about New York being the place for him, you know, questioned Eli Manning being the quarterback for him, you know, after he got that contract extension. You know, and I think that with a new general manager, a new head coach, I mean, they had it with that. So just a taste of what come. So I think they sold high, and I think those who thought that Odell Beckham Jr. was going to give you a two first round pick return were sort of crazy.
No, we've had a few people here say the Browns ripped off the Giants. I don't believe that. I agree with you. The Browns got a great player, and I'm excited for Browns fans here. And I think Odell Beckham is a perfect fit in Cleveland. But the Giants could win this trade as well, as you say, if they use those picks wisely. I was so surprised that there was so many people in New York saying, no way they're going to trade Beckham, no way they're going to trade him. It always made sense for me, to your perspective, is what you're saying, is that what if this turned full Antonio Brown? Then you would look what they got. The Steelers got nothing compared to what the Browns got or what the Giants got for Beckham.
Yeah, Adam, and you know that the sports fans in New York, right now, the most delusional sports fan base that's in New York is the Giants. And the Giant fans think that they still can win a Super Bowl at any point. And I guess, you know, if I was a Giants fan, I'd be like, okay, you know, what happened in 2007 was remarkable. I mean, there was a point in 2007, it was like, get rid of Coughlin, get rid of Eli, this team stinks, they get in, they go on one of the great runs in NFL history. And in 2011, of course, not a favorite to do what they did, taking down the Patriots. So they always are very, very optimistic. But, I mean, the team has been bad for a while, and the offense has been bad for a while now, and they don't seem to get it. So, you know, so many Giants fans, when I brought this up on the air, there was one guy tweeted me that same day, stop being so obnoxious, this is bull crap, they're never trading Odell, stop trying to get people to listen, you're just doing this for ratings. I'm like, no, I'm not. There's something going on here, and you guys can't see it because you're so enamored with the New York Giants, you don't want to admit that right now it's a mess. So it's nothing is surprising to me. And one thing that Dave Gettleman has shown is that you have no idea what the hell he's going to do next either. I mean, to think that we have any clue as to what – I mean, if they ended up cutting Eli Manning today, would I be that surprised?
No,
I mean,
no.
Of course, it would be the most surprising thing they could do, but I wouldn't be that surprised because everything they've done has been really, really different, and you haven't been able to forecast it.
You know, it's funny that you say that about the fans because we – Dustin and I have been pounding the table to trade for Odell Beckham for, I don't know, months now, and especially in the last few weeks. And there were fans saying the same. Why are you guys bringing it up? You're teasing us. It's never going to happen. It's a, you're just, as you said, you're just doing it for ratings. You're doing it for clicks. Or I don't know what radio has to do with clicks. But anyway, people get crazy. But anyway, it always made some sense. What do you think about his fit specifically in Cleveland? Because with Baker and these guys and his buddy Landry, I think it makes a lot of sense.
No, I think it does too. And that's one of these things that happens with sports talk now is if, you know, you have an opinion about one side of things, it's like you automatically can't think it's a good thing for the other side of things. You know,
right,
I really do believe that, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. with the Cleveland Browns, with the chip on his shoulder, with a quarterback like Baker Mayfield, who is the exact opposite of Eli Manning. I mean,
right.
You could not, there's not a 180 other than maybe Patrick Mahomes from Eli Manning in the NFL that he's going to be happy. And he's going to be happy there probably if they're winning and he's getting the ball and things are going well and he's healthy. I mean, it could be spectacular. And, you know, you can have it both ways in this conversation.
Right.
With these, you know, TV debate shows, I think, in sports have made it that you can't have these rational opinions and these reasonable approaches when it comes to these things. And, you know, I think Odell Beckham Jr. and the Giants was a divorce that was going to get even messier than what we just saw, and they needed to do this. And I think John Dorsey realized that there was a tremendous opportunity to add a player who could be the most talented at his position that we've seen in many, many years at 26 years old when his team's about to pop and be a team that could be a perennial playoff team. So I think he's going to be really, really good there. And I don't believe that, you know, if Odell Beckham Jr. goes out and has the best season he's ever had in his life, that the Giants made a massive mistake.
Right.
Because it wasn't going to happen here.
Yeah, right.
Because the Giants are terrible.
Yes.
And it's a bad football team, and no one realizes that. And that's the Giants fans. A lot of people realize it, but Giants fans don't realize
it. Delusion.
And the quarterback has been really, really, really bad for a long time. And whatever season Odell Beckham Jr. has in Cleveland, he was never going to have here.
What kind of is this just simply winning's going to cure all? Is that what this comes down to? Baker's here. His buddy Jarvis is here. Is this what it comes down to, just winning's going to cure all for him in Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, I think so for the most part. You got to remember he's a highly emotional guy too. So, you know, there could be some things that knocks him off, whether it's in a game and, you know the famous Josh Norman thing, or, you know, maybe there's something that Freddie Kitchens says in a press conference that annoys him. I don't know if this has been brought up in the whole litany of Odell Beckham Jr. things, but he did a Facebook show about his life, and he was talking about how the owner called him out and the coach called him out and all this stuff and never really took any responsibility for his actions and why the owner or why the coach would be upset with him. So there might be something here or there, even if they're winning, that might pop up. But I just believe that this was a guy that was extremely frustrated, and he doesn't have as many opportunities to be frustrated in this particular world that he's going into. Now, I mean, we've all seen it before. It takes more than a bunch of splashy moves and there's some good draft picks to turn a football team around. But, I mean, I would be surprised if the Browns all of a sudden went in the tank and this didn't work out. I mean, I think they're going to be pretty good, and I think that he's going to be happy. And the thing that I'll keep bringing up, because not a lot of people have talked about this, is this being the number one thing. You know, this was a lot about Eli Manning. And there were a lot of people in Odell Beckham Jr.'s life that were telling the Giants, and it was becoming clearer and clearer, that he was not going to play with Eli Manning, and he had had it with Eli Manning on the field, that this is where a lot of this came from. So if you eliminate that from his world, that this organization is holding him back and this quarterback is holding him back, you eliminate that whole part of his world, I think that he's really, really happy. And immediately now, without that, with a different quarterback, a guy that we know he likes, a guy who's, as I mentioned, the exact opposite of Eli Manning, I think that, you know, that is the concrete foundation for Odell Beckham Jr. to have a really good, productive, quiet year.
Okay, so given everything you just said about Eli, and I mean, obviously Saquon is a sensational player, rookie of the year, He's going to have a magnificent career if he stays healthy. Is there any regret in the Giants that they didn't take a quarterback last year and maybe this would have been prevented?
I would hope so, because it's obvious. I mean, I don't think that there is from John Mara. I mean, it's the strangest thing. If you go back, it all started when you had a group of guys who is Mark Ross, who's been in the news, who's the VP of college scouting. You had Jerry Reese, who had made some miserable draft picks, but of course he has, you know, a resume too with some championships on it. And Ben McAdoo, who was a total clown, but yeah. Still, you know, those guys had a plan about, all right, Eli's getting towards the end here. We got to do something. And there was a fatal mistake is what they, instead of putting in Davis Webb, to get a look at the young guy they drafted in the third round, they put in Geno Smith. And the Giants fans said, wait a second, this moron Ben McAdoo, who the entire team's quitting on, and Geno Smith, who I saw suck for the Jets, and the Jets are a joke, that's the guy that's going to unseat our guy who gave me so many great memories. And they revolted, and John Mara is very, very sensitive to fan reaction and what they have to say. So then he decided that we need to fix this thing, and Eli's going to be the guy, and I'm going to bring in guys and hire them and tell them that Eli Manning is going to finish out his contract with the Giants, and we're going to do everything to make sure that we get the most out of him these last couple of years and his contract that's done at the end of this year. So that's what they did. They went out, and they tried to do it last year, and they drafted Saquon, and every move they made was a win-now move.
Yeah.
And it was miserable. They were terrible. They were lucky to be 5-11. It was so bad. And my fear now is that they're going to do that again. And that's what I said. I thought they were in rebuild mode with the Odell Beckham Jr. trade. Then they bring in Golden Tate, and I'm thinking, well, wait a second. Are you telling me they're going to do this again? And they're going to come out and be 3-13, 4-12 again? So, I mean, there should be some regret that they – and who cares about if you got a great running back? You want to be the 1990s Lions? Sure, go ahead. Go be that. And you can have your 26 jerseys, and you can be 5-11. And you guys could tailgate in the parking lot and talk about how great Saquon is, and oh my God, you got the next Barry Sanders, and then just be the worst team in the NFC for X amount of years because you blew it at the quarterback position. You can have that, but I would think that they would be regretting it. And if they now pass on Haskins, or they don't trade up to get Murray, or they don't take a guy like Locke, or they don't take a guy like Daniel Jones, they don't trade for Josh Rosen, and now again they're in the same position, and they're just the pride's just getting in the way, and stupidity is winning out here. So. It's a long way to answer your question. I really, really hope there's some regret there because I would think it's pretty obvious. But these guys, man, I tell you, it's like they want to show the world that Eli Manning is better than he is.
Yeah, no doubt. Gio, before I let you go, man, good stuff on that video. Getting Antonio Brown to do that video for Mike. I'm sure he really enjoyed that.
Oh, yeah, Mike, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure he watched it and enjoyed it and of course he did, because he's a guy that can take a joke.
He had good fun with you. He had good fun with you on that, right?
Mike Francesa is a guy who can take a joke. And by the way,
yeah.
It's not that hard to get Antonio Brown to say everything you want. All you have to do is pay him $500 and fill out a little thing online. He'll say anything you want.
My gosh. It won't be easy for him to say it, but he says it. Anyway, happy. Hey, Greg, I'm happy for your success, man. Great job. Keep it up.
Oh, likewise, Bull, I appreciate that. And you guys enjoy this time of talking Browns football. It's
got
to be a lot of fun.
It is fun. We'll talk to you soon. Greg Giannotti, WFAN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.